All the comments that are coming up, we already got new people already here. We got Brian Davis saying, yo, already ready to go.
Yo, what's up, Brian?
What's going on, Brian? Guys, I'm excited. I want to jump on it right away. It's going to be a great show. If you know Wingman, you have a Wingman, right?
In the history of Wingman.
History of Wingman. You got Batman and Robin. Uh-huh. All right. You got your...
Goose and Maverick.
Goose and Maverick.
Yes.
Goose and Maverick. You got Goose and Maverick. Oh, who else did we see? Oh, we got Opie and Jax from the great show of Sons of Anarchy. Right?
Yes.
And then you got two guys that are hardcore brothers to the end. You know, literally to the end. You got Marcus Fenix.
Hell yeah.
And you got Dom
Santiago.
And what better way to get the podcast going, guys, to have the man himself, Carlos Ferro, in the podcast, baby. What is going on?
Thanks, guys. I guess I got to get it out of the way because you guys set me up so beautifully. So, bitches.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yes.
Nice. That's what I love. That. That's awesome.
I
got
to tell
right
you, it was pretty
there,
funny
man.
When you guys were naming great brothers and homies to the end. You guys are like Maverick and Goose. I'm like, that's a really, really good one. Really relevant to today's podcast.
Well, if you notice, the majority of those women I mentioned died.
Didn't come out so good. Yeah,
they didn't come out so good. But, you know,
that's how you know they're a good wingman.
Yeah, it's a good reference. It's a good damn reference. How you been, brother? How's you were talking about the weather. It is hot as balls over there, I believe.
Yeah, it is. You know, I was.
I
could be like, nah, man, it's kind of like LA. Bullshit. It's too fucking hot. Yeah. I was in Palm Springs this last weekend, and you know, we're indoors, so it shouldn't really affect us. But and I've been to Palm Springs before, so it's a desert. You gotta kind of expect it to be hot. But it was like 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. when I'm arriving, and the driver gets me there, and it's 114.
Right.
Oh, wow.
That's 8:30 in the morning?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was only going to get hotter. So, man, we're melting over here.
Jesus. Man, dude.
It's hot.
So let's start from the beginning, Carlos. Tell us, I mean, where you're from, where you grew up, and how we got to become the voice of the great Dom Santiago, man. Take us away. Take it away.
Yeah, I'm born and raised in San Francisco, California. It was pretty, the way to get to where I am now or to do what I do now was pretty different because it was so long ago. And that's just a fact. I mean, if you look at IMDb or you look at other stuff I've done, I've been at this for a while, but I started just pretty traditional with, you know, studying, coming up and, doing, you know, regional theater and being a kind of a theater guy and making a living. And this is the Cliff Notes, really. I mean, nobody knows what Cliff Notes is anymore. But
I got you. The
abbreviated version is that, you know, when things start to happen, when you start, you know, being on TV shows, you know, people, you know, notice. It's one of the old like sayings in show business is the most important thing is to be seen, so putting yourself out there is key. And I was really fortunate that I came up right at the tail end of only like 5 networks. And, you know, something good things happen when you pilot the enterprise. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I know. You were actually he's part of the Star Trek cast also.
Yeah. So by the time that these new consoles. Yeah, this is awesome, guys. I've never told the story so succinctly. So thank you
for the opportunity. That's what I'm doing
with this podcast. Preach.
Preach.
So I ended up being involved in cartoons. and anime dubs exactly. And I mean exactly at the time when they were coming up. And I was well aware of PlayStation 2 and Nintendo. And I mean everything, every console there's ever been, Sega Genesis and on. But all of a sudden there was this new generation, literally and metaphorically, of the original Xbox. And PlayStation 2 was up in its game. And by the time we were at Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, I was already like a veteran because I'd been worked on all these games while I was working in TV, you know, on camera and things like that. And you just never know what's gonna work. Like they ask actors all the time. They're like, "Did you know that Gears was gonna be this big?" Absolutely not. In fact, all there was doubt back in 2006, 2007.
Right.
As you can imagine, I know the story better than probably anybody besides the developers that were there at the time. I was there every step of the way. And to answer your question even more directly, since I tightened that whole story up, is I was the first of the cast that we've had for five games.
Right.
I was the person that has been involved the longest.
Wow.
And that's kind of a fun trivia thing, because you think, what about the rest of the squad? What about all those sorts of things? Well, the reality is that when I was trying to book the job, the game had a different name. It was if for the people that don't know the story, it's kind of fun. Originally, this was going to be an Unreal Tournament game.
Yeah.
I mean, you think of the aesthetic, you think of the company, and it just kind of makes sense. I believe at first it was Unreal Warfare. Then when I started auditioning and all that stuff and booked the job, so now I got cast in this game called Warfare, and so I'm in this game Warfare, and it had a team and a squad that I never met them, we never got that far, but I know that all of a sudden there was everybody got fired but me. I mean, essentially that's what it boils down to, and I'm grateful, and I'm grateful. Not just for keeping the gig, obviously, but the reason was really great. And that was that the team at Epic and Cliff and Rod and everybody, they seemed to kind of agree with my choices, because Cliff Blazinski has said this every now and again, that the people that were playing Latinos or anything that might be Latino that has a name like Garcia or Gomez or whatever, they pretty much all sounded like a knockoff Cheech. You know what I mean? So that's kind of what people expected, what they wanted. I didn't approach it that way, and I think that's what kind of I'm speculating now, but I like to think that that's what kept me in the mix, because there was alternate takes somewhere out there in the universe. There are takes where it was like, why don't you make it more urban? You know what I mean? And you know, you guys are in the RGV, you know, which has become sort of almost a second home to me. And I gotta tell you, you guys understand what they mean when they're saying that. So everything went from being like, you know, military banter and sort of, you know, what's that, and helping the player along, to like, Marcus, what's that, man? What's going on? Why are they coming in here? I didn't say it.
No, we're saying it.
Anyways, go ahead.
So when I had a real handle on who I thought Dom was from the very beginning. The more story they gave me, the more notes and the more lore that I was getting given. You know, man, you know, this guy's not, and I'm not trivializing, it's just a fact. This guy's not just the guy from the neighborhood. He's not.
Right.
He comes from a military family, and you know, not for nothing, man. I think I can do this in 2024. I can say that from back then to now, not only do I know the guy, but I've pretty much been validated and justified that me being that bitch, you know, the guy that asked for detail and that is always going, he wouldn't say that. I mean, that's exactly what was going on. I was like, why would he say that here? Why would he wouldn't do that? His objectives and why he's fighting, all of that stuff is not the obvious. It's not what you guys think. I've done my research. By the time we got to books and comics and all that, now we're all working together. We're all collaborating. So now we're up to like Gears 2 and Gears 3, and I think I've been proven right that this guy was not that voice, that pretty
right. Absolutely.
Almost dismissive, to be really fair.
Right.
There are characters that of all kinds of ethnicities and races that you get set up for stuff, you know what I mean? Like in storytelling, it's like it sounds like a joke, but you know, you always know in the horror movie who's gonna die first. Well, we're trying to deconstruct that, you know what I mean? And that's good. And that's sort of my thing, is that I was like, this guy's not just that. He's not just the what is that guy and incoming, you know what I mean? This guy, every every word, because like I said, I am that bitch. I wanted every word to belong to Dom. And here's trivia, and again, it'll finish my answer to this crazy speech about Dom, is that every actor in the squad got to say sub bitches, okay?
Yeah.
Every single one.
Right.
But it became mine because I just knew how he would say it. And I don't think that was the case with every one of my squad mates. I think that they were doing what is, you know, it's pretty obvious. It's just, you know, a trash talk, you know? But to me, it was, it almost had an air of this, the spicy flavor of my sub bitches is that it's vindictive.
Yeah,
it's about something. It's not just like, you know, shit. Yeah, it's kind of shit. You know?
Yeah.
But sub bitches is very in your face because you're the enemy, and you killed my brother. You killed my family. This is one of those moments where Dom has a bit of release, and not just, you know, crying.
Yeah.
I mean, consider the fact that at the time where Xbox was flowing with, I'm going to bring this up. It was flowing with Halo for so long. Halo was doing great. Then all of a sudden it happened to where Bungie just said, you know what, we're done with this. And 343 Studios said, you know what, we'll take it. And they literally I think they just milked it. So we needed something fresh. And when Gears came along, I go, well, you know, my buddy of mine said, let's give it a try. We fell in love with it real quick. All the characters, every character was like genuine, you know? And it was an awesome story.
That's when the recasting really made a difference. Like I said, I never met the original cats, but my guys, I mean, we've all been at it together for so long, but like we've always had the great fortune, because it is rare in show business, in anything, any TV show, cartoon, doesn't matter. It's rare for like the two leads or the two, you know, your player one, player two, your co-op guys. It's very rare for them to record together, because it's just for technically speaking, you guys work in sound, cleaner audio. I mean, I saw you guys very responsibly muting my mic, you know, putting your guys off when I'm talking. All those things come into play to the 100th degree in a property and a project like this. And so we had the great, and it shows, man, I know it shows because I play the games. Me and John DiMaggio, who plays Marcus, we work together. When there's a scene with Marcus and Dom, we're in the booth together. And that is, by now, by 2024 standards, it's completely unheard of, because they can clean it up. They can overlap us. They can get choices and create a conversation that seems like we're in the same room. But they've been very smart, I think, because John and I have been friends for over 20 years. We've played Cop 1 and Cop 2 on Spawn, the animated series.
There you go.
Gosh, Logan, say there's
an anime on YouTube called Gogol 13 Queen Bee. It's for free. You can see it. It's from the late 90s, and he's Gogol 13, the James Bond assassin in this anime that's very adult, dirty as all hell. But I'm the bad guy. So there's this cartoon out there that it's Marcus versus Dom, and it's cool. It's really awesome. But what that brings to what I was saying is that he and I have a shorthand. We have a chemistry that really every game, every scene, every Maria scene, every Gears 3 scene, everything I think is kind of a little better because we play off each other, and all these improvisations. John's a master at what he does, and he really is really good. And I tend to think I'm okay too. And when we start fooling around in the booth, there's stuff that I could tell you, man. Like I'll give you a couple. You know how Who Wants Toast and all that?
Yes.
That's John just improvising. That's we have this new what's it called, whatever the torch is. You know when we finally got a flamethrower?
Yeah,
the flip, but it has a name.
I know what you're talking about.
So, yeah. He came up with Who Wants Toast. And my favorite, and again, since we're going down trivia lane with Dom here, if you guys don't mind, if you'll indulge me. We were in the booth together, and they usually have drawings or concept art for the monsters, the new monsters, the old monsters, any changes to gear to, you know, when they say these frags are different, they're like this, we tend to be able to see them, you know? So, they had these new, I don't remember right now if it was I think it was the Wretches, in the script, they didn't have no pictures. So they just said, we were reading along together doing the lines. And we both at the same time saw that it says a bunch of creatures approach their feet and they are monkey-like dogs. And then it says these monkey dogs approach Dom. And it said monkey dog like twice. And John started going, monkey dog, monkey dog, that's a monkey dog, that's a monkey dog. And I couldn't fucking resist, right? So when now that we're rolling, I was like, Marcus, monkey dog. and he started going, Dom, the monkey dog. And my father we just kept saying monkey dog. And like with things like that, you know, it was funny the first five times we did it.
Right.
Yeah. After the fifth time, nobody's laughing anymore but us.
And
we're like hysterical, and everybody else is like, fucking hilarious. Can we keep going? You know what I mean? Like, can we get off the monkey dog and toast, please?
Time is money, baby. Let's go. Time is money.
Exactly.
I had a question for you. This is a question I've been holding in the bank for a while. I'm pretty sure you've gotten asked this question quite a few times. When you get the scripts and to do the role plays on the game, the scene where Dom finds his wife, I mean, when you read that, how do you prepare yourself for that in particular scene for the game?
Very emotional scene. I appreciate the question, and I understand it. Man, I'm sweating, you guys. Give me a second. I'm telling you, I'm melting. I'm totally melting.
Where he finds Maria.
Yeah.
Find her for the first time. Yeah.
I'll tell you the story, and I'll try. I've told the story before, but I'll try for you and your viewers. I'll try to give you a little more detail, a little bit more spin on what was happening. So
right.
I unlike other games, Gears of War is a very special property. It there's no two ways about it. If you think about all the games, I've been really fortunate to work in so many like marquee properties. I mean, I'm still working with Assassin's Creed. I'm still working with Saints Row. I'm still working with Payday. I can go down the line. So many cool ass properties that are on Game 3, Game 5, Game 13. So
right.
I've seen a lot of the process from back in now it's called the OG phase, and now currently what's happening with games, and what's still doesn't happen, which happened really wonderfully with Gears, is we do get the script. It's treated like a feature film or a series. I can see where we're going, where we're headed with the thought process. So I can work on the script in advance. And again, what I say, I'm that bitch, right? So I get the script. I tear it up and figure out what I see there, and then talk to the director and talk to the client, talk to the coalition now, but the
microphone.
Basically, and say, look, this is what I'm thinking. Are we on the same page? And this is so now you know why I get to that level when I show up ready to work. And now this is the part I have said before, and that is that to other podcasts, to other interviewers, is that when I showed up and the Maria scene, like you said, you read it, and you're like, fuck, man, like this is not your basic video game cutscene.
Yeah, exactly.
This is, they're never, and I can say this confidently, people will always bring up a scene from Final Fantasy or Halo. It's not the same. It's not the same to have a human person have to go through, and by virtue of you're playing the game, you go through it. Is something so horrible, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So I thought, I'll tell you what I thought first, and then I'll tell you what happened. I thought I was going to come in and tell the director, the producers, that I was going to say, hey, so this is what I think. I think this is dark. I think this is fucked up. I think that it's going to, if I act this, I'm going to need I need to optimize the situation in the recording studio. I don't know how he feels about this because I'm explaining to them that it's going to be a fucking mess. Okay.
And I said,
so that's what I'm ready to do. But I want you to tell me if you really, and I'll never forget this for the rest of my life. I said, do you want me to go there? Now, what I thought they were going to say is, what the fuck is wrong with you? It's a video game.
Right, exactly. Yes.
What are you thinking, Mr. De Niro? Could we just shoot the monsters and move forward? You know what I mean? Well, this is what their reaction was. I said, do you want me to go there? Unanimously, they went, yeah. It was practically like giddy, like, fuck yeah, let's do that shit. And I was like, yeah, it's easy for you guys to say, yeah, let's do that shit.
Right, exactly.
I have to go act something that no human being, you can live 80, 90 years in your life and never go through anything even close to that, right? This is sci-fi horror, every kind of genre. It is best in one scene, right?
Right.
So I'll give you guys a very it's not like a secret. It's just not known very much. I did the mocap for that too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So me and John were in North Carolina, and I was on their mocap stage, and I wore the dot suit. Which, by the way, if you guys ever think about doing mocap, don't.
Noted.
Unless you are far more secure with your ego than I was, because that you could put anybody, you could put an athlete, a movie star in that mocap suit. And we've seen like people with the dots and shit. I mean, I just watched a video of the cat from Stray wearing the dots. Okay.
Right.
So it's really common, and I've done it on a few games, but that was the first time that I was balls out. You know, doing a scene, it was about me, and it was like doing theater. I had the scene memorized, and I was doing I was doing it like it was in a movie or a play, which is cool as shit, but it means I have to act it twice.
I had to act
it when we record it. Now I had to act it when we were doing the motion capture.
But the
reason I tell you guys and your viewers is when you watch it now, it's not like a robot. It's me. It's
no.
that Maria scene is completely mine. And, I had them turn down the lights in the recording studio. Remember that bitch? I did the scene, and I don't know, man. I don't know how much. I mean, I'm trying to keep this stuff succinct here, but I will tell you, it was really, really hard, and really, I was going through really everything you hear and see. I'm really going through it, like for realies, and. Mm-hmm. And John, you know, I think he lucked out in the dialogue department that he got to say, you know, Dom, it's okay. Which, by the way, it's not fucking okay.
Exactly.
There's almost a tradition now at this point with Gears. Something horrible happens and they go, like when Dom bites it in three, Anya's going, it's okay, Marcus. It's okay.
Yeah.
By the way, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Part three.
So we did the scene, and I went there, and I think it played. We got it in one take, and I should say shit.
Playing the fucking game, dude.
I can do this all day,
right,
man. I can do this all day. I'll give your viewers that played Gears 1 flashbacks. Revive me!
Dude, you're gonna make me cry, dude.
Yeah, that's why I had to lighten the mood with a revival. So yeah, man, we did the thing. And again, what I thought we were going to do, like, so what goes through your mind when you read that in the script? What went through my mind is this, I can't believe they're really going to let me do this because it's pretty heavy shit.
That being said,
it completely changed my career. It changed everything. It was the coolest thing at that point. It was the coolest thing that had ever happened because there's always trolls and haters that'll be like, what the fuck is this? Let's kill monsters. But yeah, by and large, everybody was like, you know, they felt for Dom. They understood his story more. They tapped into him. You know, you got to remember the first thing you ever encounter in the Gears of War universe. If you've never even heard of Gears of War,
yeah,
the first person you see, you don't see Marcus first. You see Dom.
You hear
Jack, rip that door. And then you see, what does Gears of War look like? It looks like Dom. It's the cog armor. It's the Lancer. It's Jack. And then the brothers are immediately taking us on this trip that would go on for so long, you know? And I wanted that weight there when we did the Maria scene. And so to wrap that up, I will tell you, so there's a reason, and I blame myself that for three, that scene that I mentioned lightly, I said, Dom bites it. I really feel that somebody, I don't know who, but somebody was like, one more time, they were like, yeah, let's do that again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't resent that. I'm welcome it, and I appreciate it. I'm grateful that I got to tell the story and that I got to do that thing I do, man.
Right.
It changed the way the players interacted with the game too.
Bro.
It was such a pivotal moment. You've been grinding away on this epic journey to save your family.
Yep.
And for it to just
go away.
Yeah.
Be for naught.
And I'm laying the cat on the back here. When I got to that point of that game,
yeah,
bro, I had to put my controller out. I balled up, bro.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my god, dude, what's going on?
We all stopped playing for a few minutes because like,
what the fuck just happened? Yeah,
I won't name all this shit for nothing.
I won't name what outlet said it, but it was very kind. When that came out, when the reviews came out, and they were, like I said, by and large, they were positive. And they said that, see, I'm trying to be humble without being humble. So, this very large, like might even be the largest outlet said that the Maria scene, Carlos Ferro changed video game voice acting forever.
Yes, you did.
And I appreciate that. And it's really funny because if you are a gamer, it doesn't have to be a hardcore gamer, just a gamer that's been playing, you know, all, you know, forever and ever and ever, always has a console in the house, knows all their games, and then is a shooters guy first or third, doesn't matter. If you have followed gaming, you'll notice that the second that Maria scene happened and then the Gears 3 scene happened, all of a sudden, all these franchises were like, the horse gonna fucking die. You know what I mean?
Damn you, Red Dead Redemption!
And I didn't say that was that game. I didn't say that. I just picked a horse. I picked an animal out of clear blue sky.
Let's kill the horse.
I always kill my horse.
You know what's funny, guys? You guys are making. You know that conversation happened. You know
yeah,
that
I conversation. Did it. Yeah. I believe it.
And you know it went. And you know yeah. it went exactly like that. They were like, "Can you kill the horse?
Oh, man.
No, let's kill one of the guys. Nah, that's gonna be too obvious. No. Do we have a horse called Dom? No."
No, because it's going to hurt more to kill the horse than it is
of course, another. Dude.
And I'll be honest.
Would you miss it?
When part three came out, and at the point where Dom becomes the hero and takes one for the team and bites it,
yeah,
bro, I put my control down and I walked out.
Yeah. What's the point of playing this game anymore?
Yeah, I was done.
You're in big company, dude. Like, there is I think you can do on YouTube. Was it YouTube? Yeah, it's YouTube, not Twitch. It was on YouTube. There were all these videos. Dom dies, rage quit. And it was people crying. It was people just streaming, man. And they threw the fucking controllers. They broke their own gears.
Yes.
Because you know, immediately, my only beef, if it is, it's not a beef really. My only concern was that it happened too early in the game. Like, I don't think we were even at the third act yet. And it happened. And so, I think everyone having to play as Jace or Anya, I mean, if you've played as Dom always, like, I've never played a Gears of War game, 4 and 5 included, unless I can play as Dom. And I know that it's not just because it's my character. A lot of people say that. When I was hosting esports in Vegas and in Mexico, there were these 4-on-4 fucking battles that were 4 Doms against 4 Doms.
There you go. Dom
is a very beloved character.
Yes.
When people wanted to get different Lancers and skins, it wasn't like, I want one that's shiny or I want a gold one with stripes. It was like, I want a Nasher and I want it to be, have Maria on it. I want the Dom one. I want the one that has, the, you know, that one's kind of fruity. It's so pink and blue. I want it. It's the Maria Dom one. You know what
I
mean?
Right. Yeah.
And I really appreciate that because it means that all this thought that we put into it, that I put into it, that the writers put into it, that it we were onto something and that it had that effect on games. And more importantly than anything, it had effect on gamers, man. The gamers like it.
Yeah, and it affected a lot of gamers. And to tell you the truth, I stopped playing Gears for a while, man. Because, I mean, don't get me wrong, I got the Dom Zombie. I had to get that one.
The Dom Zombie.
You should have heard people. People were sending me pictures of Zombie Dom, and I already knew about it. But they were sending it to me, and they were acting like, are you guys, I don't know if there's any Latinos in the room, okay?
We're all
there's a couple.
Okay, well, you know what I'm saying? Is that they got very much like Le Mente la Madre, you know what I mean? Like, they were like, they you know what I mean? They were like, Did you just call Dominic Santiago? Did you just from Sera? No, I'm kidding. They're like, did you just make him a zombie when we just got dealt with him dying? Like, that is so that's so disrespectful, eh?
Got him at the cheeks,
and then, right? And then, well, like I said, that's the next thing I want to step into when they debuted the trailer for Gears of War E-Day. Mm-hmm. I jumped back on Gears 5 and I found the collector's Dom available and I bought that sucker, man, ASAP. I go,
Gears 5, like, people come at me with criticisms about 4 and 5 because it's not the first story, the original trilogy. But here's the thing, I'll do it in tiers. Number one, 4's opening is the prequel scene at Aspo Fields with Dom and Hoffman. Mm-hmm. And we worked like a couple of years to try to figure out how to incorporate Dom into 4, how to kind of have some fun with the universe without being dismissive of the original trilogy or being too you know, not to be shitty with anybody. It's like, how do we do this? What's the mix of continuing the story of the Locust and the Swarm without being kind of like shitty to the story that was already beginning, middle, and ended, you know? And I really dug the opening scene from 4. And like I said, we worked really hard on it. I was very proud of it. I still am very proud of what we did with 4. 5, I've never, every time I work on something, of the 5 games, we record all new audio. So all of that, I'll take that anything, take cover. It's every time it's different in every game. We recorded original, except for the Gears of War Ultimate Edition, which is arguably my favorite thing of the games, my favorite game. And it's because it wasn't a remaster. That's a real wrong term. It's they rebuilt Gears 1 from the ground up. And the only thing that survived was the audio. And I thought it was really smart. It fixed a lot of, not glitches, but certainly things that could be improved upon. Story-wise and mechanics-wise. So you get to play Gears 1 in the universe of Xbox One, you know? So I dug what we did there. You mentioned 5 about the collector's Dom. There's this badass picture of Farmer Dom. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yes, but, there is a farmer Dom. Right. There's yeah. a farmer but, Dom also.
And but yeah, it teeters on Chippendale's territory. You know what I'm saying? you know what I mean?
Like tonight after the podcast.
Like I may even do it now because of this podcast. You just gave me the idea. I've wanted to put that picture up and like play like some house music in the background, you know, because it'll make the picture look very different.
There you go.
That'll
be
work on the
tone. That's a ditch right there. Yeah.
but Gears 5, I think, has the most beautiful of all the multiplayers. And I'm someone who grinded out every night, hours and hours, in Gears 2 Horde mode and in Gears 3 Horde mode. Though right. I will tell you, I sucked around those laser encampments. Like, if you had a homie that would be like, you guys are at level 32 and you're like, man, is tonight going to be the night? Are we going to finally hit 50 together? And you just keep seeing.
Last week.
Well, I was the guy. I was the guy with the lasers that people would be like, what are you doing? Because you would just see, like, I'd be like in it and then just poof, you know? I hated that shit. But five, I dig the multiplayer and I'm very proud of everything we've done with the franchise.
That's awesome. The question per se is right now is that everybody wants to know, will you be in Gears of War E-Day voiceover? Okay.
It is way, way too early for me or anybody else to answer that question.
Okay.
It's the development stage of the game. I'm in a real tricky position because I can't, if I say,
right.
I am, it's the biggest news in video games. If right. I say I'm not, it's the biggest news in video games.
Right.
But I think that it's always been things like that are always, if there's very few places, guys, and I mean this from my heart, from the heart, okay? There's very few places in your life where you truly have power. You know what I mean? Like you start figuring out that you don't have as much power in your house as you thought. You know what I mean? You start figuring out that at work, you know, you can be the supervisor, you can be the owner, and you still don't have the power you think you did over the landlord. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
exactly. And over all kinds of things that play into it. You know, everybody, I'm not a parent, but I've helped raise kids, and you know, you think that you're the you know, mero, el chingón, you know, and you find out very quickly that that's not the case.
Right.
And you gotta kind of deal with what you can. Well, in the case of video game, and specifically the video game industry, and really all geeky stuff like cartoons and animated shows, this is when the public actually has power, guys. You remember what happened to Sonic the Hedgehog?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Everybody thinks, I mean, we all have our own version of a conspiracy freak because it's healthy to be a little bit paranoid and stuff. So you kind of think, oh man, they pulled the wool over my eyes. You think that just to protect yourself. But the reality there is when they showed us a trailer, when they put all that time, energy, and money into a trailer for a skinny Sonic with weird teeth.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's not on purpose.
Yeah, I got you.
You don't represent your team, hundreds of people in man hours. You don't do it and go, ta-da, just fucking with you. That's
right. Right, right.
So when the public were like, how fucking hard can it be? And someone went into Photoshop and just made a photorealistic Sonic, which by the way, all of us that have been on the internet since 96 or whatever, we'd all seen photorealistic Homer Simpson, Jessica Rabbit's a good one.
Yeah.
Photorealistic cartoon. I know, let's take a moment. But cartoon characters, photorealistic, you know? So the Sonic thing, we were right. And we had the power and we had a voice to say, you're taking not just something beloved, like I've always loved Superman. This is something very specific to like two or three generations of kids and adults that Sonic and Mario and all of these guys, this specific gaming area, we all have our heart is connected to it. And people, you know, they made their voice known. That's why they fixed it. And I think that it's interesting that they're not being an official announcement. And this is the most, by the way, guys, you guys, this is the most I've ever talked about the Xbox showcase. I'm not talking about
much. Yeah.
But again, if I say that, you know, I'm under a non-disclosure agreement, I'm contractually, I can't say anything. Right? I'm basically saying something without saying it.
Right.
If I say I know from the last, you know, my 25 years plus years in show business, I know what it is to be cagey on purpose and to try to get attention. I'm certainly not doing that, especially not to you guys. The reason I wanted to do this podcast is because I have a real connection to the RGV. My peoples have been very good to me there every time I visited, and I try desperately to give back and to be supportive of artists locally. And so I wanted to be really straight with you guys, is that I think if it weren't the case, I think that would be crazy. And I think el público would make it known that it's crazy.
You know what
I mean?
Real quick.
And if it is the case, then we all got something to look forward to and celebrate. So it's kind of sorted no matter what. You know what I mean? And that, like I said, this is me not being cagey. This is me just being like, hey, man, they don't make announcements like that at this stage of the game. They just wanted people to know that it's happening. People have been coming at me all over the internet, and John as well, you know, being like, what's this mean? What's the deal? And I saw an article that I think one of the big bosses, I won't name names, but just said the same thing I'm saying, is whether it is or isn't, this we don't make announcements in video game. In the video game industry, we don't make me these kinds of announcements. It's premature to make these announcements. If only because, and again, this is me just for example. What if the game's delayed?
Yeah, that's true.
You know
what I
mean? What if God forbid something happens to me or John, and we're in the hospital, and it pushes, somebody has a different creative take. I just think that it would be fucking crazy. You know what I mean? I think we've been in this so long with that Brothers to the End thing and Gears Inc.
Yeah.
We've leaned into that as artists and as creative people. We've leaned into the community of Gears of War. I mean, Mexico might as well be called Mexico City Gears of War. You know what I mean? It is so special in Mexico City. It's the home really of Gears of War. And you know, it's not a secret that maybe my Dominic Santiago might have something to do with it, you know? And in this country, I am, and also in Europe, man, when I'm in the UK, for example, I mean, Scotland, Liverpool, London, Wales, everybody knows my character the way they know my character. And I don't think that anybody would respond well to such a change, you know. That's that, and there's no reason for it, I might add as well, you know.
There's
plenty of time and energy and money to go around, you know.
Gotcha. I hear you, man.
Well, it's just that if you're gonna announce a prequel, you know, with our favorite characters, our beloved characters,
no kidding, bro.
There's an expectation there.
Exactly,
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
There's an expectation there.
So, like I was saying to you,
they'd be crazy, right?
They'd be crazy, right?
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? That's the most I can say, guys, and that's a lot.
Thank you so much.
That's fine. We understand where you're coming from.
All I know is when I saw the trailer, my nephew sent me the trailer, and they go, "Dude, did you see this?" I go, "No, what is it?" He goes, "Check out the trailer." I checked it out, and it shows where Marcus is falling through one of the holes, and he's about to slip off the pipe, and I see that arm come down, and as soon as I saw the arm come out, I recognized the getup. Like, are you fucking kidding me? I got up, ran around the house like a little girl, and my wife goes, "You are fucking nuts." I go, "Oh my God, it's Tom, he's back, he's back."
I watched it live. And I had the same kind of feeling, in that I liked how that was put together, but I will tell you, the second that I saw that, I was like, okay, well, here we go, because me and John are all we're going to be is asked, you know, and it's a bummer, because you know, as you can imagine, either way, we'd want to say, you know what I mean? But it's just part of our business that, and then there's a laundry list of good reasons of why not to go official. But I will tell you, I am spectacularly excited about what's been shown and what story can be told. That's I mean, it's my franchise, man. I'm very excited.
Right.
Well, I think I can speak as a fan of the game in general that we have expectations. If they're not met,
we're writing.
There will be trouble. So many angry emails.
And Quez will be right in the front line to push it through. Ain't that right, buddy?
What?
This will be one of those moments in your podcast that your viewers will screen cap, because they'll know that they'll say what we were talking about and what you just said, and that I went like this.
Yes. We'll put Quez in front of a card. Operation Human Shield.
Yes.
Let's do this. Did you have any question, Quiz?
Hey, I've been wanting to ask all y'all a question.
Go for it.
I've been playing Gears lately. Why does it go just to 13?
13?
Yeah.
13, we don't.
It's 5. It's Gears 5 or 6. Which one did we download?
We're at Gears 5 right now.
Yeah, it only goes up to 13.
13? What are you talking about, 13?
I've been getting multiplayer online. We're only getting 13. It stops at 13.
Oh, you need help.
Okay, so listen. Help. This I want you to know. What's your brother's name?
Quez.
Quez.
Quiz, like a quiz that you take at school?
No, Quez.
Quez, like.
It's like Quest without the T.
Yeah. Okay, Quez. So I'll tell you, Quez, you just gave me my favorite moment of this whole podcast.
Sorry about that.
No, I said my favorite moment, because it was, I mean, I mentioned Cheech earlier. That was some Cheech and Chong level comedy. That was like, hey man, am I driving okay? It was hard, man. I mean, that was fantastic. I was like, I have a question about Gears of War 6. And we're on 5. That's what I meant. Why does it go to 13? None of us know what you're talking about, Quez. And you're like, let me explain. In multiplayer, why does it go to 13? Guys.
Why does it go to 13?
You know you're going to have to explain that at some point. Maybe right now is not the time.
Right now is not the time. When we get off the air, we will go over your question. We'll roll back. Let's stick it on the refrigerator there like a little Post-it, and we'll get back to it.
Are we going to go over this thing?
I don't know how we're going to go over this.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug. Fantastic.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug. Oh, gosh. Well, all the success that you've had with Gears 1, 2, and 3, the fans, well, I'm pretty sure you go quite a few Comic-Cons or signings and everything. What's the reaction when they come and see you to get their autograph? I mean, what are the requests? So, you know, what is it?
So because we're running out of time,
I am
going to tell you. Actually, I've got like another good 15 minutes in me.
Okay. Right? Okay.
So,
perfect.
So this is all good, guys. First of all, I'll give you the serious answer first, and that is I have so many wonderful experiences. There was a guy, I believe it was in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Shout out to Gears Inc. and all the people that have Gears Inc. He had saved a space on his arm. There was just like a banner, you know, mm-hmm. And it was reserved for my autograph. And that is like, okay, that's not that unusual in mm-hmm. that I was going to be signing Carlos Ferro Dom, which is what I signed on the Gears of War stuff. But and I was like, okay, you know, more power to you. You know, you're going to have that on your arm for a while. Knock yourself out. But the thing was what was around that banner, around this very small banner, this little space, it was a variation on the Maria tattoo.
Oh,
and the Maria tattoo, but it was a variation. It wasn't Maria. it was more Gears of War lore and the look of the not just Maria, but the Maria Remembrance statue, you know, like the statue in Mercy, like a tombstone, guys. You know what I mean? And gotcha. He had played Gears of War, every Gears of War, collected all the comics and everything with his little brother, and his little brother died. He didn't have his player two anymore. And so he channeled all of this grief into this ink. And for those of you that have tattoos like I do, and I have a pretty big one on my right arm, that's also about processing grief. It was like, it was a lot for me, but it wasn't like, oh, you weirdo, I'm giving you my autograph on your arm. It became it came in like, wow, I'm helping you finish the journey of the tattoo. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I'm being a part of something bigger than what a cool character I play in this cool video game series.
Right.
And that was, you know, that changes you, man. That makes you, as an artist, yeah, man, it's cool to be well-paid or well-known. But those of us like me, one more time, that bitch, I got into this to be, and I tell students this, I tell my students this, unless you're getting into this to be the greatest of your generation, like to be the best there ever was, it probably isn't for you, because that's what you want. So that's for you, that's internal. But if external things happen like that, there's nothing better, man. It changes you, it lifts you, the other person. It makes art. It's not just video games. It's not just comic books. It's these things have profound impact. The X-Men got me through stuff when I was a kid. Spider-Man, I was Peter Parker. And I know the people that relate to Dominic Santiago. I know the people that hear my voice when I go, Marcus! And they're like, fuck, I'm there. I'm right there again. You know what I mean? Doing the revive me. And you can't put a price on that. You can't be rewarded with just being famous or whatever, or how many followers you've got. For me, that's like one of the, if not the most memorable, that's one of my most memorable, but I'm not going to make that be the last story. I'm going to tell you the one that I think is the funniest. Okay.
All right.
Okay. And I've probably only told this once at a con, like I was doing a panel about what a big shot I am. Okay. The panel was like a Q&A with Carlos Ferro, an Ask Me Anything. And it was funny because, I mean, for an actor, I'm going to talk about how beautiful art is and all, but for an actor to have a room of 200 people just want to know everything about you.
Right.
It's really cool. You know what I mean? It's really cool.
Gotcha.
So I told the story at the panel because it happened at a con. This interaction that I'm going to tell you about is that I finished a panel, but I wasn't at my table. Is the point? I was walking around with security, and I told security, just, you know, we're good, man. I'll meet you at my table. I'm gonna go in the bathroom and take a leak. So I go to the urinal. Now, we guests at cons, they don't have to use the public toilets and shit, because there is one by the green room or behind a curtain. There's one that you can go and not get fucked with, right?
Right.
So Doctor Who can take a piss. You know what I mean? So I was like, I'm gonna do that. So I didn't. I just went through. I told him, meet me at my table. So I went to, now again, this is the private bathroom. So the bathroom is completely empty. There's not a soul. No other guests were in there using it when I went in there.
Right.
And so there's like probably 12 urinals, like a big lineup of urinals. So I go and I stand in the middle, like middle more or less urinal, so I don't feel lonely. And and so I'm standing there doing my business, and a guy comes in, and it is crystal clear that this kid is not a guest.
Uh-oh.
And that he doesn't work for the convention. and that he's just an attendee that followed me. Okay.
Right.
And he walked, and I was like, I mean, we've all been there. I mean, shit, we probably were there like yesterday, where you're in a public urinal and you kind of, you don't really talk to another person, but you kind of acknowledge their existence, right? Or you don't, one or the other. You just act like you don't exist, or you go,
what's up?
You know what I'm saying? But that's at best, that's the max, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm really setting you guys up because I think it's funny. I, I'm standing there doing my business. And the guy of all the urinals, he stands in the one right next to me.
Oh my gosh. Oh, God. Oh, come on, man.
And now I'm showing you guys. I was like this, like what do you do, right? And I look over him and I was gonna say, really, dude? Like really? Like yeah. 13 urinals and you pick the one next to me, right? So that's me. I'm gonna tease him. I'm gonna give him shit, right? And so I look over at the guy and he looks me square in the eye, which is not more than 7 or 8 inches. He's right next to me, guys. He's right next to me. And he goes, say sup, bitches.
What? Are you serious? What?
I swear to God on the souls of my parents, rest in peace, that really happened.
Wow.
And he looked me in the eye and said, with a kind of a half smile, like this worked. This is a great fucking idea. And he goes, say so, bitches. And I looked him right in the eye. And now I'm like this, like what the fuck? And I go, can I wash my hands first? And he goes, oh, yeah. Not sorry, not excuse me, not I'm sorry I bothered you, nothing. It was like, oh, that makes sense. One must wash their hands before doing lines from video games. So,
screamed out, Marcus!
I wrapped up.
Dog monkeys!
I'm not kidding. I zipped over, washed my hands, and he fucking practically ran next to me to wash his hands. And by the way, that I thought was funny. I think he washed his hands and he never peed. Like he never opened his pants. You know what I mean? Like it was all bullshit. So he washes his hands and I go, so you're a fan, right? And he goes, yeah. And I go, I said, okay. I said, well, I got to get back to signing. And I said, and I'm still trying to process it. I'm like, come meet me at the thing. And he goes, like that, like, come on, like, fucking do it. And I'm like, so I did the line. I went, so bitches. And then he went, ah. And I said, you wanted to do that while I was peeing? Like, I had to say it, you know? Like if this is your thing, you know, you might go to jail.
It might have been a ritual for him to go to the restroom, bro.
You know what? He picked his moment. It wasn't great.
It wasn't a great shot. Was not.
He didn't get tased. So, I mean, it was a good day.
It was a good day.
It was a good day for him. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to hear that dude tell that story from his perspective. He's alone in the bathroom.
No, you don't want to hear that. Guys, no.
He was in the bathroom, dude. Here he was, like, doing it. So I just walked up and I went for it. I took my shot.
We're best friends.
I knew he couldn't get away.
You know, that was a dick in his hand. He can't get away.
And I told him, why does it only go to 13? So I'm like,
hey, dude. Hey.
Comedy.
First things first, want to say, first of all, thank you for joining us on the podcast, man. I know you're a very big... Oh, that's right.
Any socials that you have?
My socials, I think you guys were linking me up there, but Real Carlos Ferro on Instagram. Not The Real, just Real Carlos Ferro on Instagram. Real Carlos Ferro on Twitter or X, whatever the fuck they want to call it. Facebook, just Carlos Ferro. Justifiably so. Everybody's kind of abandoning social media, you know, to like do shit. Which I think is healthy, man. You know what I mean? Absolutely. It's nice to have a split of real life versus online. Not to old fogey it, but it's just that these days it's getting harder to be, you know, online, you know, Everybody's got their gloves on, man. Fisty. That was why I make those jokes. It's like, you know, you go on somewhere to be like, check this out and anything. I mean, seeing what you guys are into. If you say, oh yeah, we got this picture of, you know, Charlie Brown, but it's not Charlie Brown. He's got like this beard. And then they're like, they'll immediately be like, pussy. You know, and you're like,
yeah. Hey, like,
how do we make that jump, right? You
know, that's me.
How do you make that jump? You know what I mean? When someone insults you, when you were just going like, man, you know, I think Spider-Man into the whatever Spider-Verse was fucking awesome, and everybody's like, you know, yeah, where are your panties? And you're like, what? like what? I mean, these examples I'm giving, I've seen people that say that. I mean, I'm thinking no one could talk shit about, I'll pick something, you know, Star Wars or Star Trek, that it's just like, it was cool, something cool from sci-fi. And
right.
somebody will like, you can see that they must spend most of their day just waiting to fuck with people. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And not for nothing. It was, I swear, man, wasn't always like that. And I think you guys are old enough to remember. It wasn't always like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
The internet was, I mean, this is definitely me on a soapbox as an old man. The internet was actually at one time the opposite. It wasn't about a stage to fight on, which is what it is now. It is
right.
Everything is a debate and an argument, right? Everything.
Right. You
either win or lose or come out kind of not as beat up and all that. It used to be about finding your people. The internet was always about finding community, from those fucked up Angel Fire websites to AOL to news groups. The reason everybody was congregating is that you were not the only motherfucker that wanted a Planet of the Apes action figure from the 70s. Somebody in Florida had one, and they'd sell it to you if you give him his Superman action figure. You know what I mean? And if you're into, you know, sketchy, weird shit, you'd find those people, you know what I mean?
And
you guys could have a group called Sketchy Weird Ass People. And by the way, nobody would fuck with them. You know what I mean? And nobody would fuck with anybody.
It was cool.
Yeah.
It was cool.
So it's like all, I say this about cons actually, it's being a victim of your own success, is that it gets so commonplace and so great so quickly that it's bound to get torn down and fucked up by people, you know?
Right.
I mean, we're great and all, but we ain't that great always.
I hear you, man.
It's fine until, you know, a weirdo approaches you in the bathroom.
I agree.
Yeah, that's gonna be my t-shirt to promote anything I work on now. It's all fun and games till they stand next to you in a urinal.
Put a urinal in the back and put some bitch in the back. That'll be fine. Mr. Farrell, thank you so much for coming to the podcast, man.
This is a lot of fun, guys. Thank you for having me on. And love and respect to, you know, Harlingen, McAllen, Farr, fuck even Brownsville. I ended up, because of the weather, I got stuck in the region just a few weeks ago. So I saw like two more towns I had never seen because I couldn't fly out of, you know, McAllen. But it was cool, man. Depending what you're into, you can get in. I mean, this is an endorsement, guys. Don't get it twisted. You can get into some real trouble in the RGV.
That's my biggest endorsement.
No, somebody said to me, this is a real conversation I had. Somebody, the last time I was there, just a few weeks ago, this was not long ago, it's like maybe a month ago, I was in McAllen, and somebody said to me at the Flux, shout out to the Flux, McAllen.
There you go.
Flux.
So I'm at the Flux, and I said to somebody that I was going to go to these bars that I'd gone to before, to these like small, deep, like not in a nightclub, not like clubby club, just like a DJ bar. And I was talking about, you know, the ratios and shit and just how fun it is, essentially. I was bringing it up. And the person I was talking to that was in line said to me, oh, no, I don't go there. I go, did you used to? And he goes, no, not really. And he goes, and I don't think you should And by the way, I just said I liked going to this place. And the person goes, no, I wouldn't go down there. And I said, why? And I thought the answer was chef's kiss. He said, because you're going to get shot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was like, really? I don't think so, man. And he goes, no. And then somebody else goes, yeah, man, my friend got shot. And I was like, okay, first of all, like, relax. Okay, relax. And they said, no, it's dangerous. And then I said, and this is a weird way to end the podcast, but it's funny. I said, when I was your age, swear to God, I went full viejo. I went full viejo fucking suegro, you know? I got all OG in me. I said, when I was your age, I signed up for danger, motherfucker. Shit. like what do you mean is dangerous? What the fuck?
You don't know what danger is, eh?
You don't know danger? You don't know danger?
I'm down, motherfucker. You know?
And then you know what he said? Didn't go to, it goes only to 13.
Well, there goes Quest, he's dead. Once again, Mr. Frank, thank you so much, man.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time, man. I appreciate you. Hopefully, we can do this again later.
All right, man.
When everything's said and done and up on Xbox running, hint, hint, hopefully, and we can have a full disclosure from you and see what happened, what do you think of the game and everything, buddy. So,
or if you just want to come back and talk.
If you want to come back and talk and talk about all
that. I appreciate that. When you were making that statement, I swear, I thought the comedian in me wanted to push leave on the
podcast. You should have.
You'd be like, and so when you want to come back and have full disclosure, black screen. All right, guys. I'm out. Thank you.
Thank you, man. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Have a good night.
Oh, my gosh, guys. What an episode. That is awesome, Mr. Carlos Ferro. Wow. Quiz got an ass whooping. It only goes to 13.
Quez, you are now up there with that guy from the bathroom, dude. That's congratulations.
Right. You're number two.
You made it, man.
You need to show me how to get past 713.
You turned the game off.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. What a great episode, man.
Fantastic
was awesome.
Episode. That was amazing.
For the sponsors, I will have everything up and running for you guys during the episode. I have all the information up there for later on when I go back and edit everything. So don't worry, you guys will be on the podcast. Got episode 202.
Yeah.
And have him on here.
What an episode.
What an episode. It was awesome, man.
Fuck yeah.
That was awesome. Talk to actual Dom.
It's that goddamn level 13. I swear.
Let it go.
It only goes to 13.
I'm telling the truth. Wave 13. Is it because I'm playing easy? Guys, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
I'm in the game, asshole.
Say it. What do you want me to say?
Say it.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week on Tuesday. That's our next episode. Yeah. You will see us on here. And like always, guys. Ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1. Ladies, Gators! Peace out, guys.
Bye.